We did hear from some of you this past week, including Joel down in Mattawa. And Joel says, hoping to get back to regularly monthly communications at least until June. Joel has been a real solid phenologist down in the Mattawa area, and we always like to hear from him. He goes on to say, the cold here since Christmas has been consistent, but no extreme overnight low temperatures. Most nights in the last 9 days, the thermometer has fallen into the minus 20 degree Fahrenheit range a few hours after sunset and then headed back up a bit through midnight, presumably because there have been no nights with consistent clear calm conditions that promote strong radiational cooling. It's also been quite dry with just 0.7 inches of snow since the day before Christmas. Overall, December turned out to be 2.5 degrees cooler than average, with the first 20 days noticeably warmer than average. High temperature for the month was 42 on December 2nd and the low was minus 30 on the 27th. The last 8 nights have been consistently cool, with lows ranging from 22 to 30 below zero. Winds have been fairly persistent from the northwest, and 4 of those days were completely clear from sunrise to sundown. We lost all our October snow at the beginning of December, and I was unable to ski for 2 weeks. Total for the month was 14.7 inches, and currently there is just an average of 8 inches of fairly powdery snow covering the ground. Enough to smoothly cover the best manicured trail, but not for the others. I've been flushing grouse almost daily when out on the skis, and this has led to some concern about there not being enough snow cover to provide good insulation for recent consistent cold. Your thoughts on this? And he goes on to say, I've got a modest flock of maybe 2 dozen red poles visiting daily, as well as the usual suspects. I haven't seen the small flock of pine grosbeaks or the large flock of wild turkeys, both of whom were regular visitors earlier this month, for about a week. In the case of the turkeys, we let our dogs chase them away one day, and when they returned to clean out the platform feeder for the third time in one day, I don't have an explanation for the absence of the pine grosbeaks. We also seem to be seeing fewer gray squirrels lately. I saw a red fox hunting about 100 yards south of the bird feeding area a few days ago, and this might account for some of the reduced visitation. The cold is fine, but we need more snow. Joel. And, as I mentioned earlier, the thought of snow and maybe a bit more snow today would be welcome. I've been out skiing a little bit, and I jumped a couple of ruffed grouse myself, and both of those grouse were down in the snow and had started to roost. It was late afternoon on both of those days, probably after 3:30, and sundown coming about 4:30 right now, 4:35 maybe, 4:25, I guess it's going the other way, isn't it? Anyway, there's been some discussion both with Joel and some other notes that I've seen about the presence of grouse and whether or not they're able to find sufficient thermal regulation in this extreme temperature. It can be as much as 50 degrees warmer under the snow than above. So when you have minus 30 for an outside air temperature, a simple snow cave with a grouse hiding under it can raise the temperature to close to 20 to 30 degrees above zero. So you're talking 50 to 60 degrees warmer for the grouse. So the grouse have had kind of a, you know, it's been very cold. And usually what happens then is that they have to spend more time eating. And when they spend more time eating, they're exposed to predation that much more, because goshawks and other animals are always anxious to have a nice grouse meal. So it's a little bit tough for grouse, and a little more snow wouldn't hurt the grouse at all. Those that I flushed were completely covered with snow, but they were not very deep. I mean, it was probably only an inch or two below the snow that their heads were, you know, resting. So we could use a little more snow, as Joel said. The cold is all right, but we need more snow. And we heard from Matt, who lives on the east side of Prairie Lake. He's been having 6 to 8 pine grosbeaks enjoying the feeders for the past month, along with the usual downy, hairy, and pileated nuthatches, chickadees, gray and black squirrels, rabbits, and deer. And then he said, I wanted to share an event that took place in October. I stepped out on my back door to toss out some garbage, and there were birds at the feeder only 15 to 20 feet away. Oh, and there at the bird feeders only 15 to 20 feet away was an adult black bear standing and licking the tasty seeds out of the feeder. I was startled, of course, and grateful this beast paid little attention to me. My wife and I watched it from their window until it slowly meandered off. The next morning, it was back again, only this time it tipped over the trash can of birdseed and was laying head first inside, munching away. It had gotten into one garbage can and completely destroyed our beehive down to the barn, down by the barn. We suspect it is hibernating close by. Yeah, I had a similar experience with a young black bear this summer at my house, where he opened up the bird seed can and helped himself. And then I got a note from Lonnie, who lives in the Hibbing area. He says, any idea what these pileated woodpeckers are doing and why? I took these pictures out of the window of our house about 15 miles south of Hibbing. I have 4 rib cages hanging, so we have plenty of pileateds around most of the time. And the picture that Lonnie sent along were of a pair of woodpeckers, pileateds. And from what I could see in the video, it looked like they were both males. And they were playing a bit of hide-and-seek at the base of a balsam tree, where they kind of look around the edge of the tree at one another. And I'm not sure if the one was a juvenile male and maybe an offspring of the other, or if it was just a combination or a competition between the two males. But the behavior was similar to what I've seen between males and females, where they sort of dance around the tree and kind of play hide and seek with one another around a tree. Interesting. And then Harvey Jader sent along a note, actually posted a note on Season Watch, which I found pretty interesting and worth mentioning. And we're going to contact a woman who works with the DNR here in Grand Rapids to talk about this more in the future. But Harvey says, people are voicing their hopes that this cold weather will kill emerald ash borers and other invasive pests. In 2014, an experiment showed 98% of emerald ash borers died when their body temperature reached minus 30 degrees. To reach this temperature inside a tree, the ambient air temperature has to be a bit colder than that. Insects that bore into a tree above the snow level will probably, below the snow level, will probably never get that cold. Wintering insects are more susceptible to extreme cold early in the season. By this time of the season, they have become more resistant. This cold can still kill a lot of insects, but at the same time, it also affects natural selection, breeding cold-tolerant individuals. With each additional cold winter, so cold snaps are good. They slow down the invasion, but probably nothing will stop it entirely. And you can add your 2 cents to that conversation. It's on Season Watch. Harvey posted that note on the 27th of December. So roll back a little bit and join the conversation if you have something to add. Also from Season Watch, a couple of sightings, northern hawk owls, great gray owls, and snowy owls all being seen in the area. So get out and be observant. It's a wild time out there right now. Lots of owls around.